Timothy, my memory is really getting bad. I'm really getting concerned about this. It's getting worse by the moment. I don't know if there's a time that you stop preaching when your memory gets bad. I don't know if there's a special time that happens, but when I start to come to the pulpit and don't know where I'm at, and I start to preach like I'm at a Methodist church or Presbyterian, we know something's wrong. So that hasn't happened yet, so we'll go ahead and keep preaching. But anyway, 2 Timothy is where we're at tonight, chapter number 2. Let's pray and we'll begin. Our Father in heaven, thank you again for your word. Lord, please speak to us in a mighty way tonight. Thank you again for the songs that we've heard, the songs we've been able to sing. Lord, may our hearts be in tune with you. May we not be thinking about anything else now at the moment. May we consider and concentrate and really purpose in our heart that we want to hear from you, that we'd want you to speak to us. And Lord, the things that we read about the still small voice, may that happen tonight. Lord, may your Holy Spirit, Lord, whisper to us. May we hear it loud and clear. Lord, things in our life that need to be changed that might be better. Lord, as far as the scriptures give us an understanding as we look at the sense, the context, but Father, again, may we make application tonight. We love you. Thank you again for being so good to us. Thank you for saving our soul from hell. If there's somebody in the service tonight not saved, Lord, again, would you please convict them, draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I'm looking at 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I want you to look at a couple things. I'm going to take 30 seconds of review, but in verses numbers 1 through 7, we talked about verse number 7 where he says, consider what I say. The things that he said he wanted us to consider was verses 1 through 6. And then in verses 8 through 13, we talked about verse number 9 is the key verse there, but the word of God is not bound. And I want to tell you, they might shut your gospel message up, but they can't shut up the gospel message of the word of God. God's word's not bound. Verse number 14 this morning through verse number 19, we talked about the key word being the word. Four or five different times, Apostle Paul telling Timothy that there's some words that you need to pay attention to. And of course, he mentions again about words that are to no profit there in verse number 14. He talks about the word of truth in verse number 15. And then, of course, he talks about the word that is like a canker or a cancerous type word. And he talks about those three different types of words. Tonight, I want to pick it up in verse number 20 tonight through verse number 23. I want to talk to you about the phrase that's mentioned in verse number 21. Let's go ahead and read until we get to it. It says in verse number 20, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In verse 21, he says, and if a man therefore purge himself from these, I'm going to look at this phrase tonight, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And that's what we ought to desire to be. He says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. It's amazing that Paul, writing Timothy, puts this kind of almost like a little parable or story in these verses here. And he says that in a great house, look at your Bible again in verse number 20. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. The idea being that if you go to your cabinet at home, there are certain dishes that you lay out that are special. You might consider your china something special. You might, like in our house, when it comes to the children, sometimes the kids will use paper bowls. When it comes to cereal, sometimes they'll use those old plastic bowls that we have. But if we have company over and we'll set out the glass, we'll set out the glass bowls as far as if a person's using a salad of those things. There's just certain things that you would do when you have company that when it's just us home folk, we don't do. What God is speaking through Paul here, and kind of gives the same idea. He says that, now he uses the phrase gold and silver, and I don't have any gold and silver cups tonight, but we're going to use the difference between glass and plastic if we can. He says there's some vessels, and by the way, a vessel being anything that would hold liquid, whether it's a bowl or a cup. He says there's some vessels that are just a little bit more special than others are, all right? Again, there's some vessels that, you know, that they're, it doesn't matter if I lose them, all right? There's other vessels, you know, make sure they get returned. It's kind of when you come to a church potluck supper and you put things in. I mean, some of you have learned a long time ago, you know, you go to this Walmart and you get those aluminum little pans so that you can forget about it, not to think about it. There's others of you have not learned that yet, and you bring your nice dishes and they get broke, but you bring the things that you want back. They're special. Now, God here is giving that same idea here, but the great house, he's talking about the church. Think about this in verse number 20 again. He says in verse number 20, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth. Now, church family, God's house is a great house. Heritage Baptist Church is not great because of us or because of where we're located. We're great because there's a great God that we serve. All right. What makes us special is the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. Look at that. What makes the difference between gold and silver vessels in this little short story and the difference between earthen vessels and wood vessels is the difference whether or not you're saved or not. Hey, can I tell you something? We talked about Judas this morning, and there's a bunch of people that are going to one day stand at the great white throne judgment and not at the judgment seat of Christ because they're not saved. They're not saved. And I can't stress enough tonight, again, if I can just tell you that this church is not what saves you. Baptism is not what saves you. Good works is not what saves you. And I could go on and on and on, treating others like you want to be treated and keeping the golden rule. That's not what saves you. Growing up in a Christian home, that's not what saves you. Jesus is what saves you. Jesus was the Son of God, and there's no other way to get to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Say it with me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. You're not going to get to heaven and say, I did this, this, and this. You're going to say, I get to heaven because Jesus died for me. And I want to tell you something. This lost world, as 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world hath blinded their eyes. There are people that are blind. Are they good people? Yes, they're good people. Now, they're still sinful people because all of us are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But understand that when he talks about this great house, he's talking about the church. He's talking about there is a great house, and there are vessels that are like gold and silver that are precious. There are vessels that are like wooden and earthen vessels. And that means, that tells me that there are people, even in church tonight, you might look saved, act saved, talk saved, and claim you're saved, but you're not saved. And tonight's not a message really about salvation. It's not even a message about trying to get you to doubt tonight. And I never do that. But I'm just trying to tell you tonight that God's the one that said, in a great house. And what he's referring to his house. And you say, Pastor, how do you know that? Let's look at the previous verse, because it does, in context, it flows together. Look at verse 19 with me. He says, again, I'm going to back up a little bit farther. Verse number 18, remember verse 17, Hymenaeus and Philetus, verse number 18, and who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. In other words, here you have these two guys that obviously were in the church, and they overthrew the faith. In other words, they told them things that were contrary to the word of God. They were contrary to the doctrine of God. By the way, the resurrection is not past already. I'm going to tell you when the resurrection is going to happen. Resurrection is going to happen when the trumpet blows, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 51 through 57. When's it going to happen? In the twinkling of an eye. The trump's going to blow. The shout's going to be given. Come up hither. I hope that happens tonight. I hope it happens right now. But I want to tell you, the fearful thing, it ought to be a fearful thing, is that a person would be left behind because you're not saved. What rapture is going to take place? According to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ are those who are already saved. Their body is going to resurrect to reunite with their soul. And then we, immediately after that, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Church, I mean, that's all about thy kingdom come. Don't you hope his kingdom comes right now? Christ could come back. So in this great house, there are people who are saved. There's people that are lost. I would hope that everybody tonight is saved tonight. But you're not saved because of where you're located. You're saved because of who saved you, and that's Jesus himself. Now, tonight, look at, again, verse number 19. He says, nevertheless, in other words, regardless of what Hymenaeus and Philetus have said about the resurrection being passed already, and regardless, last phrase, verse number 18, that they have overthrown the faith of some. In other words, people who claim to believe, oh, I don't believe that now. Okay, understand what God says in verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, what? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Hey, I'm glad that he knows I'm his. And I want to tell you how come he knows I'm his. Is because when I got saved, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, in verse 19 and 20, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And it goes back to John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 when Jesus said, hey, listen, when I ascend up into heaven, I'm not going to leave you comfortless because I'm going to give you the Comforter, capital C, and he will not only be with you, he'll be in you. So in other words, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. What makes the vessel special? I'm going to tell you what makes you special. The Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you. That's what makes you special tonight. I mean, there's nothing special about us. We're all sinners deserving of hell. But what makes us special is the day I got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside of me. And that's the difference between a gold and silver vessel and a vessel of wood and earth. Is the difference is what resides in me. Now, tonight, look at the verse number 20 with me. I'm getting there. I'm sorry. I don't mean to prolong. But I want you to understand what's going on in the passage here. In verse 20, number 20, but in a great house, talking about the church of God, they're not only vessels of gold and of silver and of wood, but of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. Church, I'm going to look for a second here. Here's the picture tonight, okay? The picture tonight is that, and I don't have gold and silver vessels. The picture tonight is these glass vessels. That's a picture of the believer tonight. He says that in a house, in a great house, you're going to have some nice vessels you put out for company, and you're going to have other vessels that you just let the kids use because if they break them, it's not going to matter. And he makes the parallel when it comes to a church. He says in this great house, there are some vessels that are like gold and silver, some that are like wood and earth. Now listen to the next phrase in verse number 20. He said, some to honor and some to dishonor. Hey, church, I'm going to tell you, all of us ought to want to be a vessel unto honor. Who are we trying to honor? We're trying to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what he says in the book of Matthew chapter 5? He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why do we do what we do is to bring honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of vessel we ought to want to be. Now look what he says next now. In verse number 21, if a man therefore, in verse number 21 he tells us now, he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. What's a vessel unto honor? I believe the next few words is what makes a vessel unto God an honorable vessel. He says, a vessel unto honor, verse number 21, here's what he says, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Now, just show me, what is a vessel unto God? How does it bring honor to God? I'm going to tell you what. Sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. If you want me tonight, say amen. Amen. Listen, I know it's teachy tonight, but I want you to understand tonight that all of us ought to bring honor to God. How do I bring honor to God? I'm a vessel, as a human being, I'm a vessel unto God that number one is sanctified. Number two, that is meet for the master's use. Number three, that is prepared unto every good work. Now, tonight, if I said, would you like to honor God as a vessel unto God? I would think everybody would say amen, and everybody would say yes. That's what you should say. You ought to want to bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I want to tell you something. When you're not doing these things, you're not bringing honor to God. Sanctified, what's sanctified? It means to be holy. It means to be set apart. Church, I mean, why? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? I want to tell you why. Because we're sanctified. We are supposed to be set apart. We are no better than anybody else. We all deserve to die and go to hell. But there's a God in heaven that reached down in his mercy and saved us, drew us to himself. We answered the call for salvation by calling upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not hope so, shall be saved. So when we got saved and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we became a vessel unto God. And we ought to be a vessel unto honor. How am I a vessel unto honor? I'm sanctified. How do I sanctify? I want to be holy. I want to be clean. I think the word sanctified means to cleanse thoroughly. So what I want to do to make holy is I have to live the sanctified life. Now here's the second thing he says. If I'm going to be a vessel unto honor, I have to be meet for the master's use. That's interesting. This word meet means to be easily. In other words, it's not a difficult thing. It means to be easily used for the Lord. Listen to me now. Some Christians are not easily used. You know why you're not easily used? Because you're so tied to the world, God couldn't use you if he wanted to. You ought to be easily used. You know, when a staff member, I've made these statements before and I want to make the parallel. When a staff member comes and works at the Heritage Baptist Church, especially when they first get on, they get a plate. It's like having a plate and they've got this one little section of responsibility. The other rest of the plate's empty. And they almost feel useless. It happens all the time. When somebody comes in that's new. Now, the longer they're here, the more their plate gets filled up. Because year after year after year, something gets handed to them, they're responsible, and then they keep that responsibility, and it grows and grows and grows. By the way, I think as a Christian, even if you're not a staff member and you're a member of the church, you ought to leave a big hole if God leaves. If for some reason, now, I'm going to talk about Brother Spencer tonight, as far as him leaving. I'm talking about as far as your usefulness in a church. If you leave, you ought to leave a hole. What do I mean by that? It's because you were used. That's the craziest thing in the world. That church down there is using me. Did you know that's a compliment? That's not an insult.
That's right. Amen.
You're supposed to be used. What makes you a vessel unto honor? Easily used. Church family, there's some of you that are sitting in the auditorium right now that at a minute's notice I can ask you to do anything at any time and you would say with the right attitude, not with just lip service, I'm going to do whatever you want. What do you want me to do? I'm ready. I walked into the Sunday school hour this morning and I did not have a special for the Sunday school hour. Taylor walked in. I said, Taylor, can you sing today? Now, he looked at me. It's the first time I'd done that to him on the spontaneous note. And he looked at me, and I could see that just kind of like the bewilderment in his face. Like, did he just ask me to sing in 5 minutes? I said, for the Sunday school hour. And he said, yes, sir. Be glad to do it. And then he ran away. Church family, I just think that you ought to be easily used. Hey, listen, church family, I have nobody in mind tonight. I hope you understand my heart tonight. I feel like that if the pastor asks you to do anything, you ought to be willing to do it, because the pastor's not going to ask you to do something he hadn't prayed to find out if you're the one I'm supposed to ask. I think that if you're needed on a bus route, you ought to go on a bus route. Now, I'm not talking about, I'm not, the pastor and God, God, I don't feel like God's going to ask you to do something. I should be careful here. God can do whatever he wants. But the pastor's not going to ask you to do a lifelong commitment without giving you time to think about it and pray about it. I'm talking about, hey, we need somebody in this classroom over here right now. Teacher's sick today. Do you mind going and helping? You ought to say, man, I'm willing to do whatever you want today. You know why? Because you ought to be easily used. Listen to me. You ought to be the kind of person the pastor could call upon. Hey, you can't easily use somebody that's sporadic about coming to church. You can't use somebody, a person is not easily used who does not have the proper dress standard when it comes to being able to stand before a class and being able to use in front of that class. You ought to be easily used. You ought to be willing to do meat for them. What makes a vessel unto honor? A sanctified vessel. What makes a vessel unto honor? Somebody who is meat, proper, fit, easily used, ready to be used for God. Just, I mean, I know that we can't always volunteer for what we want to do, but we can always volunteer for what he wants us to do. You ought to be willing. So what makes a vessel unto honor? What makes us a vessel unto honor? The last one is prepared unto every good work. That word prepare means exactly what it means. It means to prepare, to make ready. You know, church family, Dr. Howells made the statement one time. Somebody came to him and said, how many hours did you have in preparation for that particular message that he was going to preach in? And I'll never forget, at the time he was about 50, I think 57, forgive me, but I'm almost positive it's the number. But he said, that message took me 57 years. And here's what he was trying to say. When he went to preach a message, it wasn't the preparation of what he put on paper. It was the preparation of his life up until that time in his life in order to be able to give that particular message. Church, I mean, can I tell you, the reason God wants you to have a walk with him and spend time in his word on a regular basis and spend time in prayer is because God's not looking for you to all of a sudden, okay, I need you. No, God's looking for you to live a life that at any moment he can use you for whatever he wants to use you for. Hey, you're going to come across the path of people who are lost. You ought to be prepared on a regular basis. Do you have tracks in your purse? Do you have tracks in your pocket? Do you have an opportunity? Is God going to bring an opportunity across your path? Are you prepared for that opportunity? What's God's will for your life? Brother Bush came up and preached. Somebody said, well, that's a very elementary message about the will of God. And truthfully, the will of God is very elementary. What are you going to say? What's the will of God for your life? It's God's will for you to live, be a servant. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. God's will for you to live sanctified. I think it's 2 Thessalonians 3, verse number 5. It's God's will for you to be thankful. And everything give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's God's will for you to be submitted to authorities that are in your life. It's God's will for you to suffer for his sake. Okay, that's the Bible says this is the will of God. We understand that. But can I tell you the one that we often skip so many times, and it is the will of God, 2 Peter 3:9? He said, he is not willing that any... but that all should come to repentance. Do you know what that tells me? If he's not willing that any should perish, then that tells me it's his will for me to be a soul winner. Amen. All of us ought to want to be a vessel unto honor. And God says, I'm going to tell you what it needs to be. Number one, you need to be sanctified. You need to be holy and clean. He says, number two, he says, you need to be meet. You need to be easily used. You need to be ready. And then, of course, prepared. Prepared for every good work. You need to be prepared for whatever God wants you to do. Just telling you, the Sunday night crowd, I just want to tell you, I love you, and I think that you're going the right direction. But tonight, when you look at 2 Timothy number 2, can I tell you, it's a reminder. It's a reminder for us that I need to be that vessel that God can use. Just remember, I go to the cupboard. I don't do it very often because my wife, she takes care of everything. I mean, I'm very spoiled. But if I go to the cupboard, if that's on tape, I'll take that off just by the way, okay? But I am, and you know what? When it comes to when I come to eat, My suppers with the children, I try to, with the family, that's one thing I try to do as far as us being together. We don't get together for breakfast and lunch, but supper is the main thing for me. When I come home for every supper, the table's set. Now, you do whatever you want at your house, and I didn't ask for this, but at our house, I always have a glass plate. The kids might have paper. I always have a glass plate. I don't ask for that. My wife does that. When I come home, I can't remember the last time I've ever set the table, ever. I've got 7 children still at home. Thank the Lord. So when I come in, I come and sit down. My glass has already got ice in it. My glass usually has sweet tea already in it. They've already got the glass plate there. They've already got the silverware. The kids might use plasticware. My wife, she makes sure I'm taken care of. But when I go to the cupboard and I'm going to draw something out to use, I'm looking for something glass. The rest of my kids, you know, I see them go to the cupboard. They look for something plastic. I don't think they know there is glass. So when they get married, I'm not buying them a glass set. I'm buying them plastic. They don't know any different anyway. But this is what's special. When we try to set things up, and God looks down tonight, and he looks across the pews tonight, and he sees your heart, and he knows you. And if I were God, I'd pick you, but I'm not God. But God looks over the pews tonight, and he says, yep, vessel unto honor, vessel unto honor. And I understand that the interpretation of the passage, I think the interpretation of the passage, because of verse number 19, he knoweth them that are his, and verse number 20, I think the interpretation is lost and saved. I think that. But church, I mean, you still can't take away the last phrase of the verse when he says a vessel unto honor, vessel unto dishonor. You can't take away that, okay? So, and then when you get to the next verse and he says, okay, what makes you a vessel unto honor? Is a person that's sanctified, it's set apart for a purpose, a person that's meet for the master's use, it's easily used, and a person that's prepared in every good work, they're ready. You can't get around the fact that that's what a vessel for honor does. That means a person can be like a vessel of dishonor, though he's saved, but he's a vessel of dishonor because he's not sanctified. He's not ready for God to use him. He doesn't even want God to. He's not prepared for it. So God looks across the crowd tonight, and he knows, yes, he knows if you're saved, but he also knows if you're a vessel unto honor. So how do we become, or how can I make myself a vessel unto honor? Sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared every good work. There's 3 things here tonight. I'll be quick. Look at your Bible again. Here's what they are. In verse number 21, he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So number 1, you have to purge yourself from these. I'm going to tell you that in just a second. Then if you look at verse number 22, he says, flee. What's the second word? Also, which gives the connection to this vessel unto honor, flee also youthful lust. That's the second way that I can become a vessel unto honor. And then last of all, verse number 23, he says, but foolish and unlearned questions, and then you have the word avoid. So in verse number 21, the word purge. Verse number 22, the word flee. Verse number 23, the word avoid. Church family, I want to talk briefly about these 3 things, and I'll be done tonight. It's interesting that he makes this first statement when he says, if every man, I'm going to read it again because I want to make sure I say it correctly. Look at your Bible again, verse number 21. If a man, if, that means it's a choice. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor. So I ask myself, what are the these? All right. Now I drew an arrow from, in my Bible, in verse number 21, to the these being those 2 dinglings in verse number 17, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already. In other words, they've given false doctrine. So when he comes down to verse number 20, or I'm sorry, verse number 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he's talking about cleanse yourself thoroughly, and he's saying purge ourselves from the corrupt opinions of these 2 fellas, like Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now, church, I mean, can I tell you, if you are going to be a vessel unto honor, you have to purge yourself from every false idea and make sure there. What's verse number 15? Let's say it together. It's a familiar verse. Let's say it together. Now think, well, before you say it, context. Context. If a man purge himself from these, the false doctrine that Hymenaeus and Philetus were giving, God gives us the antidote in verse number 15. Let's say it together now. Ready? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, so what helps me purge myself from every error of false doctrine? Guess what it is? It's the word of truth. In other words, the more I'm in the word of God, the more I don't get corrupted by people that bring up all these fancy ideas. Oh, this is new. There's nothing new. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. All right, so if I'm going to be a vessel unto honor, I have to purge myself. I have to cleanse myself from every error of false doctrine. If I'm going to be a vessel unto honor, if I'm going to be a vessel that God can pick up and use. Hey, listen, I don't know what the young people of the Heritage Baptist Church are going to be, but I hope that through their parents and through the preaching of God's word and through their own personal Bible study, that God would say, I'm going to use that guy because I don't have to worry about them not knowing what doctrine is. The doctrine of separation, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of bibliology as far as the Bible. There ought to be an understanding of the teachings that come from the word of God, that they are not going to be moved by the slight of men, and they're not going to be moved because, like, with every wind of doctrine coming out. Now, church, I mean, I know you don't know, at least I don't think you know this, but there's a bunch of junk that comes through the internet. I'm talking about spiritual junk. There are people who are nobodies that have made themselves somebodies by having a platform on the internet for everybody to hear their belief system. And their belief system is not what's important. The word of God is what's important. Look at me tonight. I know I'm so thankful that our young people are not being pulled this way in this direction because of what some guy says on the internet, because they're not on the internet. At least they're not supposed to be, amen? But do you understand that what makes a vessel unto honor is right doctrine? Where does that come from? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly, cut it straight, rightly dividing the word of truth. Where's Heritage Baptist Church going to be 10 years from now if God tarries his coming? I want to tell you where it ought to be. It ought to be in the young people that are now getting married and having children that are strong on doctrine, and they're not going to be consumed by somebody that sounds good or something that makes them feel good or lessen the standard so we can reach more people. Let's keep cutting it straight. Let's say what the word of God says. We don't have to go right or left. This is what the Bible says. And you know what that's going to do? It makes you a vessel unto honor. Purge yourself from these false opinions from people who would like to change and dilute the word of God. Secondly, I want you to see verse number 22. If you're going to be a vessel unto honor, not only purge yourself from false doctrine, but flee also youthful lusts. Now, the word also is what really, if I can say, ties it together or connects it to a vessel unto honor. If you're going to be a vessel unto honor, you have to flee also youthful lusts. Now, lust is a longing for forbidden things, and youthful is a person around age 50. Brother Green just turned 50. Amen? Now, you look youthful. Okay, nobody's agreeing, but... All right, so youthful lust, youthful longings. Listen to me, church family. Our teenagers are growing up in here, and they're going to do some dumb things. They're going to make some mistakes, but part of that is because of their youth. It's called youthful lust, things that they have a strong a desire for. And as, by the way, it doesn't change old age lust as we get older, but there are certain things that a young person has a desire for. Sometimes it's the lust of the flesh. Sometimes it's the lust of the eyes. Sometimes it's the pride of life. So here's what Paul's speaking to Timothy. He says, now listen, if you're going to be a vessel unto honor, you're going to have to flee those things. And guess what he says? It's interesting because the word flee in this means to get away from, all right? I was trying to find my definition here, but it means to run away. I knew it was a stronger definition than that. So watch now. Here's what he says. He says, I want you to flee. I want you to run away from those youthful lusts. Young people, look at me tonight. You do not need your mom and dad to tell you no. You know what's wrong. You think it's going to hold water standing before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, I'm sorry, but mom and dad never said no, but you knew it was wrong. Well, what are those hidden things that you as young people you're doing tonight, and you're excusing because you enjoy it? Hey, nobody ever said sin was not fun. Sin is fun. There ought to be somebody 15, 16 years old, or 17, 18 years old, and in some cases in their 20s, but there ought to be somebody out there, because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that tells themselves no, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway, that they're going to tell themselves no, because you know it's wrong, regardless of a parent or authority telling you not to do it. So here's what he says. He says, now here's the answer to fleeing. Verse number 22, look at it again. Flee also youthful lust, but, what's the next word? All right, but follow. Now, it's interesting. The word flee means to run away, and the word follow means to pursue. I don't know if you can catch this or not. All right, John, come here for a second. Help me over here. You come over right over here. Ethan, why don't you come over here for just a second, okay? All right. Now, Ethan, why don't you go to that side over there, John, because you look bad, all right? John looks more like the angel here, okay? So we're switching stuff, all right? So here's what he says. This is my youthful lust, all right? My youthful lust, all right? This is what I'm supposed to follow after. Now, listen, it's the principle of replacement. If I'm going to be a vessel unto honor, whatever I'm not supposed to be doing, I don't just stop. Well, I shouldn't be watching those TV shows, or I shouldn't be reading those kind of books, or I shouldn't be doing this type of social media, or I shouldn't be at this person's house. So I'll just stop. Listen to me tonight. If you are going to be a vessel unto honor, you have to flee away and follow after. Because if you do not do the following after you do the fleeing, you will oftentimes go right back to what you fled to begin with. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to flee that youthful lust, but I'm going to follow after. I'm going to pursue. He names five things. So if you're a young person tonight, you would be wise to notice those five things, because those are the five things that helps you get over your youthful lusts. He says, first of all, follow. Number one, what? Righteousness. Hey, I know this is going to be deep, but I'm going to say it. Righteousness is the opposite of unrighteousness. That was too deep, wasn't it? So here's what he says. The things that I enjoy doing wrong, I'm going to run away from that, and I'm going to run after the things that are right. All right, that's number one. What's the second one? He says, I want you to follow after number one, righteousness. Number two, what? Faith. All right, you know the verse, Romans 10, 17. Say it with me, ready? Faith cometh by... Okay, so if I'm going to follow after and I'm going to pursue after faith, where's the first place I've got to go if I'm going to be going that direction? I got to go to the Word of God. How come some of you gun guys don't get up and read 3, 4, 5, 6 chapters out of your Bible? How come you have to read just the minimum? You will spend 8 or 9 or 10 hours at work and you can't spend 20 minutes in the Bible. How do you ever expect to be a vessel unto honor? How do you ever expect God to use you in your life if you can't even discipline yourself to read the Bible? Amen. Everything you've been taught all of your life that makes you special. You are not special because of where you are. You are special because of where your parents have placed you. And I'm talking about in a Christian home. I'm talking about Christian education. I'm talking about in a Bible preaching church. And God was so gracious to you in your life to make sure that you're in all that. And you think, boy, I've got to get out of this. That's the devil. You know, you ought to be thankful. I know you can't see it. You know, it's funny because the adults inside this room want so bad for you to know what they got out of by coming out of the world into Christ. Because you think, because you've always been in Christ, that I've got to get out of Christ in order to enjoy life, when they really know. They really know. So he says, first of all, I've got to first make sure I follow after righteousness. I'm going longer than I expected. I'm going to try to hustle here. Follow after righteousness. Number two, I'm going to follow. Number two, what? Faith. All right, getting the Word of God. Number three, I'm going to follow what? These are all things that help me get over my youthful lusts. I'm going to flee. I'm going to follow. I'm going to flee. I'm going to flee my youthful lusts. I'm going to follow. I'm going to pursue after righteousness. I'm going to follow after number two. What was the next one? Faith. Number three, I'm going to follow after charity. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity suffereth long. You know, if you just go through all those things and find out charity is a one-way love. It's a matter of I'm going to love. And by the way, it's not just a love for God. It's a love for people. Are you all okay tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Hey, look at me tonight. If there is anybody that you cannot show charity to, then you are not a vessel unto honor. Come on, you know, some of you guys, hey, I know, I'm going to tell you something you probably don't know. There are people who do not like me. I don't mean to shake your faith. I know it's hard to believe. I'll tell you something else. There's people who come to this church that don't like me, but they come to this church because it's where God placed them, and they got enough sense to stay where God placed them, even if they don't like me. And that's not a bragging thing. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. But church family, whether those people like me or not, I'm commanded to love them.
Amen.
So here's what you do as a Christian. Well, I don't like that person as a member of the church, so I'm going to make sure I sit on the other side of that auditorium. And if I see them coming, I'm going to go the other direction because I don't want to shake their hand. Oh, that's real childish.
Right.
You know what we do with our kids at home? If they don't get along with another kid in the church, now you probably tell them, stay away from those Hanks kids. Okay? I don't do that. If my kids got a problem, I want them to take care of the problem with you. I don't want to be the parent, you know, to try to micromanage the children. You go over and talk to them and make them up. In fact, you go sit with them. You know what? If they can't get along with kids their age, what are they going to do when they become an adult? You know, Ian's here for just the summer, and he's finishing his last up, and he's going to go home, but Ian's different. I mean, what kind of guy plays softball and let a ball hit him right in the face? He's different. I don't know why Kelly likes him. She's crazy. She won't say that a couple of years from now. I could go through every person in this room, and I love you, and I'm thankful that most of you love me, but I'm thankful for that. But church family, if we went through every church member, we're all different. John went soul winning with Brother Franklin yesterday. They went door-to-door soul winning. And Brother Franklin, you know, he is a very shy and timid type of person. He's very quiet, very introverted when it comes to people. I mean, I can see John having to hold him by the arm to get him to the door. Did you know that John and Brother Franklin are eons apart in their personality? Brother Franklin could talk to a stone wall and feel like he's having an intelligent conversation. He could talk to anybody. John, I really believe John goes soul winning because he knows it's a command from the Lord. I expect all of you to be at the altar tonight. Proverbs says not to be glad at calamity. But church family, John can be a vessel into honor, just like Brother Franklin can be a vessel into honor, and their personalities be completely different. All I'm trying to say tonight is this. If you're going to be a vessel of honor, you're supposed to love everybody.
Amen.
And if you can't love everybody, then you need to ask God to help you to love everybody. Quickly, I got to also keep saying that. I'm almost done. Here's the next thing. First of all, if you're going to get over the lust of the flesh, I'm sorry, these youthful lusts, he gives us these five things. First one is righteousness. The second thing to follow is faith. Third one is charity. The next one is peace. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 23. I'm not turning to all, to 21. I'm not turning to all these passages tonight. But you know what that passage about peace is talking about? He's saying, vengeance belongs to God, not you. And if you're going to have peace, and he says you should live peaceably with all men, then you got to overcome evil with good. You can't be trying to get back at everybody that doesn't like you. Peace, rest, tranquility. How does it happen? is because I stopped following my lustful flesh of anger, my lustful flesh of getting back at people, following my lustful flesh of trying to hurt people's feelings because they hurt mine, and I'm going to follow after peace and let God take care of it. Last of all, he says, I'm going to follow them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, church, I'm going to give you this last one, and I'm done. I want to bring this to a close. Fellas, thank you so much. You may be seated. I appreciate your help. How do I become a vessel unto honor, Number one, I've got to purge myself from these being those of false doctrine. Number two, I've got to flee also youthful lust. Look at the last one, verse number 23. He says in verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. It's interesting that word foolish means stupid. It really does. It actually means dull or stupid. You know, sometimes people ask the dumbest questions. You know, I like to tease people. I know that shocks you too, but I like to tease people. And sometimes at our house, one of the kids will ask a dumb question. And instead of me answering it, I look at them and said, did you just ask that? And then I start laughing at them. You know, sometimes you're going to be asked foolish questions, but they're going to be sometimes a Bible question, sometimes it's a Christian question. You know, God says you need to avoid that stuff that's going to gender strife, things that are not necessary, they're not important. How many times have you heard this statement? Pick your battle. There's some things not worth fighting over. It's not worth fighting over. You know, my dad, before he died, when he got older, I don't know what happened, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's because of sickness or what, but there were times that he would wear a pink tie. I'm serious. That's my dad. Now, my kids are convinced that that was his favorite color, but my kids, they don't know anything. I knew my dad. That was not his favorite color. I don't care what anybody says. Stacia Fawn, you be good over there, all righty? My wife is being rebellious tonight. Her and I worked for my dad for an X amount of years, and she's convinced that that was his favorite. But my dad, when he got older, he'd wear a pink tie. Well, when I was growing up, we didn't do that kind of stuff because pink is for women, and I still believe that. All right? I think that a girl wears pink. I think a boy wears blue. I think the lost world, when they give you a blanket and your baby comes home from the hospital, they know which blanket to give them. Okay? But you know what? If you like pink, and in my opinion, you're weird, that is not something to fight over. Now, if you're a staff member, don't even think about it. Okay? But if a person, I was in college in my first year, and a fella had come to the college, and the college there, they didn't think pink was a good color either. But this young man did not know any difference, and so he comes with a pink, he's visiting the college, and he comes in a pink tie. And he comes to the college to visit, and the guys in the college dorm were very unmerciful to this visitor. Parcell was his last name. Rick Parcell. It's amazing I remember his name. But Rick Parcell comes to visit the college, and he didn't know any better. Whatever church he was from, he didn't think anything about it. It's not in the Bible you can't wear pink. So he comes in this pink tie, and I'm telling you, the college guys were just unmerciful to him, and it made me mad. So the only time in my life that I've ever wore pink was he stayed for 2 days. So on his second day of his stay, I said, can I borrow your pink tie? And then I put his pink tie on. And I wore it to class, waiting for somebody to say something. Oh, so mad. I don't think that we should be mean to people because of what color they wear. And I tease, a little bit of teasing, but I tease about this idea of pink. I think that there ought to be man color, women color. I think that in my mind. But I don't have a chapter and verse that says if you wear pink, you know, you're a femme. I might think that, but I don't have a chapter and verse that says that. All right? Brother Duff, can I have your wife stand for just a second? What color is she wearing? Okay, almost like a pinkish red. Give me a little liberty. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Could you stand? She has pink in that. That looks nice. Right? Maybe see it. Susanna, would you stand? Would you stand on the pew so they can see you? Stand up on the pew there. Stand up on the pew quickly. All right. This is pink. This is what girls wear. Pink bow. Let me see your bow. Tell me, does this look ridiculous? Thank you very much. Okay, but you know what? I do not have to argue with anybody. I don't need to cause a fight with anybody. Several of you are mad tonight, but I'm not trying to get you mad. I'm just trying to say there's some things it's not worth fighting over. By the way, pink's not worth fighting over. I don't have to wear pink. I'm not going to wear pink. You wear pink, that's fine. But, I mean, unless you're a staff member. But it's okay. What I'm trying to say is there's things like that, that what's happening is you will not be a vessel unto honor if you're looking for a fight at every drop of the hat. You're a Christian. You're supposed to live peace with all men, both saved and saved and lost alike. So I cannot just let everything that comes up cause an offense. Tonight, I'm hoping that you're saved tonight, but even as a saved person, God wants you to be a vessel unto honor. How do I become that vessel unto honor? Number one, I'm going to purge myself from false doctrine. I'm going to purge myself. I'm going to flee youthful lusts, and I'm going to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. And God says, when you do that, you make it so I want to use you because you're not an honor to yourself, you're an honor to me. And church, that's what we ought to want to be. We ought to want to please God. We ought to want to please Him. And God wants to use us. The real question is, are we usable? He wants to use us. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?